toe because it got infected somehow. And to be honest, it was scary. But I was able to survive. I'm thankful for that. I like to go to John 14:6. That I'm sure all of us have heard of and probably quote. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You may be seated. I simply want to preach tonight on In Jesus' Name. Something that's been upon my heart for the last few weeks is something that seems to be in a current theme the ways of the services is we can't do it on our own. We have to have Jesus and we have to call upon his name. Just like in this portion of scripture, it says he is the way. No man can come unto the Father. This has been brought out easier for us whenever the veil was torn, whenever Jesus was crucified upon the cross. Before that, only the high priest, the highest person in the religious ladder, only once a year was he allowed to go in. And even then, he had to be spotless and sinless that he could be able to go in and not die. They would have tassels and bells upon the bottoms of the hems of their robes so they could hear how, if they were still walking around burning the incense and hearing from God. And then they would also have a rope tied to their ankle. If those bells stopped ringing or dangling, then they were found to blemish. But whenever Jesus Christ died, the way, the truth, and the life, whenever he died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And as we've heard from several different people and witnesses, this veil was several layers thick of goat skin and different animal hides. Just one layer is hard enough to tear or cut. Imagine several, probably close to 20 to 30 layers of skins. This was rent from the top to the bottom. But then when Jesus died, he broke this veil. He tore it and he made it where we were able to go. And as we can't do anything on our own. We have to go through Jesus' name. We have to call upon his name to be able to have any deliverance. Just like in this verse it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by means only by him are we able to make it. Only by him are we going to have deliverance. Only by him are we going to be able to have the Holy Spirit that we have been calling or praying for. Are we able to have salvation from things that have been tempting us so long? Only by his name are we able to grasp a hold of what he's been holding out in front of us. And I'll confess, I'm guilty of trying to do things myself. I don't like to look at instructions. I like to try and figure it out. And there's been quite a few times that I needed some help from my dad or my grandpa, math especially, sometimes in figuring out which is a quarter, which is a 5/16 before I learned on the side of the bit. And then I realized that there's people around that if I just call upon their name, then they're right there to help me. Same example. Whenever we need him, we call upon his name, and he's right there. He's right here. And he will call upon our Father to help us. He's the one in between. He's the mediator. And just as we've heard several different names, he's the equalizer. He's the mediator. He's the one that goes in between and makes it even. Makes it where we're able to communicate. And then as we've learned that we do this, we will begin to come upon him with the littlest things. Something that always came upon my mind is, his name slips me, George Mueller. There were stories he confessed that several times in the mornings, him and his wife would pray for food. And then there was several accounts of a milkman coming in with extra milk from his sons and brought it to the orphanage for them. Then bakers would come in with extra food, and he would testify that this was how they would get their food. There would be days whenever their cupboards were bare, but then they would pray in faith. They would call upon his, Jesus' name, that he would, he had faith that he would provide for them. And as we, whenever we pray, the most used phrase at the end of prayer is, in Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking upon this, and it sounds like we're just praying and asking for him. But whenever we use this, the word meaning of amen is, let it be done. Whenever we say, in Jesus' name, amen, we are laying these upon Jesus, that we have faith that he will have them. If it was just asking for something to someone, we could say, in Brother Pepper's name, amen. Then we would be having faith that Brother Pepper would have done. We would have faith that he would be using it and getting us what we need. We have faith that God, that Jesus, is able to give us what we need. And if we follow him, the Bible clarifies that if we follow him, he will give us our wants, what our spiritual wants and needs. And then as we go through this, we will find that the more we ask for the little things, the more he will bless us with the big things. We think of Jesus' name as something we use for help. But then we think, when we go back to when he was born, before he was born, there had been 200 years of silence from God. We have been hearing from God for these past several thousands of years, a little more than 2,000 years. Just 200 years without him is utter chaos and utter evil. And then as we go throughout this, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus' name, is our deliverer. He was the one that brought us comfort. Just as he said, he will have greater comfort over who knows away. Then as we think, names in the Bible meant a great deal. This was your reputation. This was your mark. This is who you were. And this passed down into several generations. Even the Indians had several names. They would have several things. They could have 10 names in one life. In their one life, they could have different, 10 different names, depending on what they did, what they were doing. Then as we come upon this name, it's so much to us, how much it is to us. It literally saved our lives. And that's the greatest thing that we can have on this earth. There's nothing greater. So if he saved our lives, then he can give us whatever we need. Or what we want, what we need. He can supply us with whatever we need, whatever we spiritually want, if we will follow him and call upon his name. It's just in John 15, I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. He is the true vine. He's not the weeds that look like vines. Unless you know what you're doing, it's hard to tell the difference between tomatoes and weeds. It's hard to tell between small plants that just poke barely out of the ground between the weeds. But he is the true vine. He's not one of the weeds. He's not one of the false prophets. He's the true vine, and his father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the one that owns. He was the one that took control of all of it. And just like God is under control of all the earth and all the things that happen in it, Jesus was the true vine. Jesus was the one that went between. He was the one that took care of it all. He's the one that helped us bear fruit. God was the one that gave Jesus the strength and the courage to do it. And then there were several different things. There was just several names that were great. Joshua, remember the meaning of his name. I remember I heard it somewhere, but it slips me right now. But all the men in the Bible, they had great names, and they all meant something to God. All the men that God chose to be leaders, they ended up being different ways of helping them. And as I was studying this, I three that appeared the most, displeasing defender or title of honor. But then, I was given this name from birth. I was given this name, whether my parents knew what it meant or not. But now that I know this, this is my name. This is what I need to live up to. And this is what I need to do. Then I think, as we see it in this world, this is how it was given to us. This thought pattern was given to us. Jesus' name was given a meaning for him to live up to. Jesus' name was named Emmanuel for a reason. God with us is what Jesus was. Thank him, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. We were never able to physically see him in a bodily form. There are many reports, there are many witnesses that the Holy Spirit was as a river. There were many visions of rivers in the altars. There were many visions of blue haze in the sanctuary. And then there was fire. There were tons of fire upon the disciples in the upper room. Then Jesus was the one with us. Jesus was the one that went in between and came in the world and gave us what we needed to be able to communicate with God. And we can't do it on our own. We can't communicate with God unless we have Jesus. He can convict us about things if we're not saved. He can convict us about different things, whether we think we're saved or not. If we're being convicted, Brother Pepper said this in a couple services ago, if you're convicted and you're not right with God, he can let you know about something, but he won't convict you. Conviction is for sinners. Conviction is what you're being told. This is what you're being, just as if you're arrested, you're being convicted of your crimes. You're being brought into awareness of what you're doing. God will let you know. He will ask you to change this if you're saved. And if you're saved, you ought to just say yes. It should just be an immediate answer. But if you're being convicted about it, it's not because you're saved. And this is something I had to deal with. I said I was convicted, and then Brother Pepper brought that out. Then I remembered that whenever someone, God will speak to a sinner. It doesn't mean the sinner will speak to God, but God will speak to the sinner. And then he will speak to their hearts and speak to their lives, and he will have several events come upon them. But then the events are not God's will. They are things to push you towards it, but it's not. This should not be taken as an answer. I remember many stories. Brother Pepper said that one time whenever he was driving down the road, there was a man on a bicycle, and he stopped and witnessed to him. And the man on the bicycle said that Brother Pepper was the 17th person that witnessed to him. The man would just not say yes. He would not call upon Jesus' name and say yes. We can call upon his name all day. And unless we say yes to the way he wants us to say it, then we won't be able to get what we need. You can say things all day long. It doesn't mean you've done it. It doesn't mean you will do it. You can say, I can fly all day long. But unless you own a plane and own several millions of dollars of gas, you won't be able to do that. But then, if we call upon Jesus' name with a heartfelt emotion, with what we need to say with it, with unction, what we need, how he wants us to say. You can get saved standing up. You can get saved kneeling at the altar. You can get saved kneeling on your bed, sitting in your chair. Because it's the way that Jesus wants you to say. It's the way that he wants you to call upon his name. It doesn't matter about the bodily way you do it. It's the way you have to give attitude. Just like attitude can be sensed before someone says something. You could say, hi, how are you? But then, if you don't say it nicely, it won't be taken as a friendly statement. You can, just like, there's passive aggressiveness. There's just ways that you can do it, sarcasm. It can be said as a joke, but it doesn't always sound like a joke. It doesn't sound like a friendly person. You really are. But then, Jesus' name, he can hear all day, but he won't respond to it unless you say it with an attitude that you want to. And I just want to leave a saying that unless we say it his way and we let him have control, and then we let him, we lose the control that we need, that we think we need, and we let him have control, then he will take control and he will deliver us from what we have been fighting for. That's all I have.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Titus. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. True.